Welcome in to Vern's post-game show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
Hey, good evening. Oh, man. Let me give you the phone number. It's 913-586-7610. I understand if you can't muster words after that one. So the text line number is also 913-586-7610. Man, I feel like, oh, man. You know what a basketball player, I'm thinking LeBron because he's playing right now, but when LeBron drives to the hole, just gets smashed by some big down low, gets thrown to the floor. And you know how basketball players just kind of lay there on the floor until one of their teammates come over and help them up, but they, you know, leave their arms outstretched, waiting for a teammate to pull them up off the floor. Boy, that's what I feel like after this one. On the floor, just, I can't get up on my own. I need some help after that. That hurt me. 12 games into the season, we got 150 left. Yeah, you know the routine, but boy, that one hurt. Royals lose in 10 innings. Walked off, three-run home run by Jonah Heim. Does the trick tonight. Scott Barlow, the one to give it up. I just can't believe I find myself here on the floor because, wow, what a game. This game tonight had everything I can't say that. I was gonna say this game had everything I've wanted to see. But I've wanted to see wins, and this game did not provide a victory. So, no, I can't say this game had everything. But, boy, how many times have I sat here and lamented the fact that this team can't come This team hasn't come through with runners in scoring position. You don't want to say can't. Again, we're a dozen games into a six-month march through the summer. And look, it wasn't a good night for the Royals offensively with runners in scoring position. 4-for-20. But the guys I need to see come through with runners in scoring position did it. At the Royals, 4-for-20 with runners in scoring position, but those four came from Bobby, MJ, Salvi, and Franmil. Bobby and MJ were the main focus of my on-deck show earlier today, and Bobby was some very productive at-bats. Productive outs as well. MJ Melendez coming through in the ninth inning to send this thing to extras. I can't believe I find myself here on the floor. Bobby came through. MJ came through. Jordan Lyles gave you a chance. Kyle Isbell, I know he's not hitting for much power, but Kyle Isbell, of all the Royals that are being evaluated this season, of all the question marks that this team has coming into this 2023 season, I don't know if any of those question marks have returned such positivity as Kyle Isbell. Isbell makes one of the three best catches of the season on the first defensive play of the game. Isbell, full extension in the left center field gap. Isbell has a pair of hits offensively. Terrific base running. Just a great night for Isbell. I say that catch was one of the three best defensive plays we've seen this season. I know that because Bobby's over-the-shoulder, Jim Edmonds-style catch in shallow left center field at Kauffman Stadium, that is the best play we've seen all season. Isbell's catch in the first is probably second best, but Bobby's catch in the bottom of the 10th inning for the second out, getting Scott Barlow that second out and keeping the runner stranded on third, keeping what turned out to be the game-tying run on third base. Bobby makes an outstanding catch. Another basket catch running away from the infield into shallow left field, about to cross into foul territory. And over the shoulder, he makes a basket catch. The ball kind of lands on his left wrist. So it wasn't a clean catch over the shoulder. It kind of, you know, bobbled it there for a second, but secures the out, makes a spectacular play. There was just so much to like. But it ends in an 8-5 loss. And the bottom line is, you're now 3-9 on the season. The Royals now have the third worst record in all of Major League Baseball, 12 games into the season. The phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610 on the night that Bobby and MJ and Salvi, Vinny Pasquantino has three hits, legs out two doubles against Jacob DeGrom. The top of your lineup did what I've needed them to do. And on that night, that's the night that Scott Barlow doesn't have his command. Boy, oh boy, we are being tested, ladies and gentlemen. 4-for-20 with runners in scoring position. So what? The top of the lineup did what they needed to do in big spots. Now, they had more opportunities to do more damage, sure. But I can't get too nitpicky tonight. Sure, plenty of opportunities for the offense in which they didn't capitalize. But I can't be disappointed in the offense. I'm not disappointed in Jordan Lyles. You want to hang this one on Scott Barlow? Go for it. That's fine. I can't argue. I'm not concerned about Scott Barlow, I'll tell you that. The reason why I'm such a big Scott Barlow fan is because I know when he arrives tomorrow to the ballpark, tonight will be flushed. Scott Barlow is as level as they come. It's almost concerning so much. He's such a fun, loving, upbeat guy. Yes, he locks in, becomes that competitor out there on the mound, but he's such an upbeat, fun-loving guy, you wonder how he survives in this game of failure, and yet he has. He's been this team's best pitcher for, well, certainly their best reliever for the past four seasons. Again, the phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. The text line is there as well, 913-586-7610. 7610. If you see me, if you walk by, you see me on the floor, pick me up. I could use it tonight. Royals losing 10, 8-5. The final score. We get to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Burns Post Game Show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
8-5, the final score. The boys fall in extras, their first extra inning affair of the season, and the record falls to 3-9. The Royals will hope to avoid the sweep at the hands of the Rangers tomorrow night. Brad Keller on the hill, Nate Eovaldi, fellow right-hander, going for the Rangers. 7:05 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6 o'clock. Let's head out to Shawnee. Start this bad boy off with Danny. You're hitting leadoff, Danny. Go ahead.
Hey, Josh, how you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How are you?
We could be doing better tonight,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
I just had a comment I was going to hang up, but after that, I'm wearing my Blues, but hyped for the season still. You know, saying this, the coaching decision was not with it yet this year, you know. I don't think the coaching decision is quite there. But
you disagreed with what? What tonight? I'm sorry.
Well, the decision with the coaching decisions, you know, putting taking Chapman out of the what was it, the ninth or eighth?
Yeah. Chapman went 1-2-3 in the ninth inning. Royals took the lead and they handed it off to their closer, Scott Barlow. Yep.
I think. Well, first of all, Hunter Dozier, you know, he's a great defender, but batting ninth, the power hitter, you know. Chapman, I think he's the stuff. I think he's going to be the closer the rest of the season.
Okay.
Yeah. Games, you know, it's made of millimeters of inches, and so is the coach's decision, you know.
You're right. Yeah, Danny, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, coaches can make the difference, especially in extra inning affairs. Personally, as I'm managing along with the game, honestly, the only moment I disagreed with was I would have brought Nicky Lopez in the seventh inning with a man on third and two outs. Top of the seventh inning, Royals find themselves down 3-2. Game-tying run is 90 feet away. Dozier's coming to the dish. He would strike out against Jacob deGrom, chasing a slider out of the zone. It's Jacob deGrom. It's not, certainly not an easy call to look down the bench and go, hey, Nicky, why don't you get in there against Jacob deGrom? Top of the seventh inning. He already has 8 punch-outs, no walks. Get up there and put the bat on the ball. No, I understand it's not an easy request. And Nicky Lopez came in as a pinch hitter in the ninth inning and got the job done. Drew a walk off of the bench. So, hey, you know, hindsight being 20-20, my move was inferior compared to the moves that this professional coaching staff put together. But to your 2 points, Danny, you know, Hunter Dozier really isn't a power hitter. We hope he returns to that 2019 power type numbers. But right now, Hunter Dozier has, what, 1 extra base hit and 32 at-bats, an OPS below 400. Hunter Dozier, you know, he's not in the 9 spot as a power hitter. He's in the 9 spot because of, sure, you got to begin with that contract. But he's hitting 9th in the lineup because he's the worst hitter in the lineup. That's why. Normally the 9 spot is reserved for your worst hitter or your second leadoff hitter. And in my opinion, Dozier falls into the former. Yeah, Hunter hasn't had an OPS north of 700 since 2020, so I'll push back on that. Aroldis Chapman, I don't see him as this team's closer, as you said, all season. I think he'll be traded prior to the deadline. Scott Barlow has been a much better reliever than Aroldis Chapman for how many years now? 2.5? 3 years? Now, Scott Barlow is this team's closer. Aroldis Chapman did his job in the ninth inning, but the Royals got the lead. Why not go to a fresh Scott Barlow? To me, there's really no debate. Fresh Scott Barlow or Aroldis Chapman doing something that he hasn't done in how long? When was the last time you got 2 innings from Aroldis Chapman? Maybe I'm wrong. 913-586-7610. That's the phone number. That's the text line number. Again, 913-586-7610. Let's go to our guy, Double J. Double J, your next up is the Royals fall in extras by a final score of 8-5.
Hey, Vaughn. Thanks for taking the call. Just want to say a tough loss tonight. Proud of the boys. The battered Lyles pitched his butt off and kept us in the game. Offense did its part to try to have a chance to win, and unfortunately we lost. I mean, that's a good Texas Rangers team that we're playing against too. I mean, and there's one question I have. With Chapman going 1-3 in the ninth, would you have maybe brought him back to face maybe 1 or 2 batters in the 10th or something? I would have probably just, and if he got in trouble, then you go to Barlow because he was stealing. And I mean, I'm liking what I'm seeing now of Chapman. And I listen out there, appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, Double J, I think, you know, kind of just address that. No, Aroldis Chapman did his job. He went out there, got his three outs. Now I want my better reliever, who is fresher, now I want him to come in and close it out. No, I would not have brought Aroldis Chapman back out for the 10th. Scott Barlow is a better reliever and didn't just throw 11 pitches 10 minutes before that. Didn't have his energy level, his focus, his adrenaline pumping like Aroldis did in the 9th inning. Chapman coming out, you know, blowing 102 past Marcus Semien and going to the dugout. What do you say to him if you're Brian Sweeney or Paul Hoover or Matt Cotrero? Going to the bottom of the 9th inning, Aroldis, stay ready because we're going right back to you. I don't understand, but Scott Barlow is the closer. He's ready. He's fresh. He hasn't pitched since the last time we saw Scott Barlow. Friday? It's Tuesday? No, this is the role that Scott Barlow has on the team. Now, if you're saying you want Aroldis Chapman to have that role, okay. You want him to be the closer? Okay. Well, then Scott Barlow comes in the 9th, and then Aroldis Chapman comes out in the 10th inning. But to try and milk another three outs from Aroldis Chapman, you don't need to do that. You have an even better reliever rested and ready to go. Go to that guy. What has Scott Barlow shown you over the past three seasons to make you believe, nah, he's not the guy? Now, I know what Aroldis Chapman has shown you in his first five games. I do. And I venture to guess that many of you don't remember Aroldis last year with the New York Yankees or the year before that. Maybe many of you are thinking about the Cincinnati Red or the Chicago Cub Aroldis Chapman. It's been a few summers since that dude was consistently that dude. Scott Barlow's been as consistent as they come out of the bullpen. But if, and I see some of you on the text line, if you want Aroldis Chapman to be the closer starting tomorrow, okay, well, that can be your opinion, and that's I disagree. I think that's very reactionary, very short-sighted, very small sample size. That's what you're utilizing. But it's a fine opinion. Aroldis Chapman statistically is, what, one of the 25? You know, if you're building a closer, Aroldis Chapman just aesthetically, stuff-wise, build-wise, Aroldis Chapman's one of the 15, 20 greatest closers of all time. Career-wise, 2023, yeah, give me Scott Barlow. Text line's always open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. My game notes after this 8-5 extra inning loss. Game notes brought to you, as always, by Jay's Southland Tow Service. Bobby and Vinny, each with their third multi-hit game of the season. Jordan Lyle, 6 1/3 innings, 4 runs on 8 hits, 2 walks and 4 strikeouts. I thought he pitched. Actually, you know what? I think that final line is pretty indicative of the kind of night he had. That, to me, is the quintessential Jordan Lyles final line. I'll take that. I'll take that every time. 6 1/3, 4 runs on 8 hits, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. Now, I would hope that he could give me a few quality starts, right? 3 earned runs or less. I would hope for that, but I'm not mad at Jordan Lyles. You know, that 4th run that came across to score, that 7th inning run after a leadoff walk to the 26th man that he faced? Lyles comes back out in the 7th. He's at 83 pitches, walks the first batter that he faces. Brad Miller comes around and scores, would be the Rangers' fourth run of the game. That, to me, was an obvious attempt by the coaching staff to try and steal some outs. Right, if the Royals would have scored in the top of the seventh inning, the moment I was alluding to earlier where I would have pinch hit Nicky for Hunter Dozier, had the Royals scored and taken advantage of that one-out single from Nate Eaton, he steals second, he's on third with two outs, Dozier goes down swinging. But if the Royals would have been able to score there and tie this thing up at three apiece, I think Taylor Clark comes into that game in the seventh. But because Hunter Dozier went down swinging, coaching staff, to me, was trying to steal maybe three more outs out of Jordan Lyles, send him out there to face the eight and nine hitters and see what he does with it. Unfortunately, he walked the first batter. Now, struck out Buddy Thompson, the nine hitter for Texas, and Q decides to give Lyles the opportunity to face Marcus Semien, who absolutely crushes Jordan Lyles in his career and did there in the seventh. First pitch he sees, he thwacks it for an RBI double to left field to give the Rangers at that time a 4-2 lead. Game kind of felt like it was going to be a wrap then. Thankfully, the offense just never stopped. Offense had the leadoff man on in the second, leadoff man on in the third, in the fourth, leadoff man on in the eighth, in the ninth, and obviously in extra innings. So the Royals had opportunities, 4-for-20 with runners in scoring position. But again, the four times they came through, some pretty big names getting the job done. Bobby Witt Jr. at a one-out, RBI single in the third with a runner in scoring position. MJ Melendez, the game-tying one-out RBI single to right field in the ninth inning. Salvador Perez with a man in scoring position, singles to center in the eighth inning. And then Franmil Reyes getting the job done with two outs in the fourth inning. Let's go to the text line, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Scott in Phoenix writes in. Says, okay, Vern, yes, it's still early, but I just feel sick for Bobby Witt Jr. busting his tail to make such a great play there in the 10th inning. Too bad it was only the second out. But to be honest with you, Vern, this game was lost in the 9th when they let Jackie Bradley Jr. hit with runners on and only one out. Didn't even have to watch that at-bat to know the inning was over at that point. Vern, I know I'm beating a dead horse with this. I'll just say it's a good thing we're not in the American League East right now. Scott, thank you very much, as always, for listening. Well, Jackie Bradley Jr. comes in as a pinch runner for Salvador Perez in the eighth. So he comes back up in the ninth inning with runners on first and second and one out. Game is tied up at four. MJ Melendez just tied this thing up at four. He's on first base. Nicky Lopez is on second base. And Jackie Bradley Jr. comes to the dish. I believe the only other option would have been, Matt Duffy? I might be missing one other. Matt Duffy, to me, looks like I got to believe there's one more position player that I might be missing. No, Matt Duffy. Yeah, Matt Duffy's the only other option. So Matt Duffy to come in and face the right-handed Leclerc. Okay, Scott, if that's what you wanted to see, you're entitled to your opinion. They let Jackie, the better defender of the bunch, lefty against a righty. Scott, you know how I do it. I wasn't thinking that. I wasn't thinking lift Jackie Bradley Jr. in that spot. But if you say the game was a wrap. Now, for those that missed the game, JBJ on a 2-1 offering grounds into an inning-ending 4-6-3 double play. We go to extras. Royals score in the 10th. Unfortunately, the Rangers scored four in the bottom half of the 10th inning, capped by a walk-off three-run home run from Jonah Heim, who after the game spoke with Bally Sports Southwest about the home run and about being a part of this Texas Rangers ball club, which had the 17,000 in attendance going nuts tonight.
It's amazing. I mean, the confidence of this team is unreal. And when you got Jacob DeGrom on the mound and he's striking out everybody he sees, it's pretty special. We just got to keep rolling and have some fun.
He had 9 strikeouts. He wasn't striking everybody out. 9 strikeouts for Jacob DeGrom, who went 7 innings, allowed 2 runs on 7 hits, didn't walk a batter. And the Royals lose in extras 10 innings. But the final score is Rangers 8, Royals 5. Let's go to Reggie in Anaheim. Reggie, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
What's up, man? It's good to hear your voice, Vern.
Nice to hear from you as well. How are you?
Man, I'm doing good. Getting ready to come back home for the draft.
Nice.
It's the end of the month, so I'm excited about that. I have just a really quick comment/question. Why is it that we don't see the Royals employ more small ball tactics? You know, back when, and I know this is a different team and different personnel and different coaching staff, but, like, you know, we used to take advantage of the speed that we had on the team, you know. Bobby Witt can run. Melendez has some wheels. Like, you have some really decent athletes on this team. Why do we not see more steals, more bunt and runs, you know, the manufacturing of small ball? In fact, bro, I can't remember the last time I seen Bobby Witt even lay down a bunt. You know, like, we're not – obviously we have some deficiencies on the team, mm-hmm. but I think you can kind of mitigate some of that by, you know, bunting, stealing, you know, just playing a little bit more small ball.
Sure.
I just want to know what you think about that.
Yeah, no, Reggie, I'm with it. I want to see them steal more. That's no doubt. I've been surprised at how infrequent we've seen action on the base paths. But as I say that, I'm also quick to acknowledge they haven't had very many base runners. And when you look at the first 12 games, the guys that have been getting on base the most are Vinny Pasquantino and Salvador Perez, not the most fleet-of-foot Royals. I also don't think that the numbers favor the bunt. I don't think the numbers always favor the stolen base attempt. I know they don't favor the bunt when it comes to guys like Bobby Witt Jr. or MJ Melendez. I don't think you're going to ask those guys to square and bunt. Hitting at the top of your lineup, needing that 2-3 run home run. To answer your question, though, I think it begins with lack of opportunities. Just haven't been hitting the ball very well. They're not as speedy a team as we've become accustomed to over the past decade. Like, when I look at the lineup tonight, sure, Bobby can fly. MJ can move. So that's your 1 and 2 hitter. Now, Kyle Isbell can run from the 8 spot. You know, Olivares isn't a bum on the base paths, but I don't know. I'm certainly not giving him the green light. Yeah, there were only 3 guys in this lineup tonight that I would give the "it's always green" for you. Also, I know earlier in this road trip, a opportunity to lay down a sacrifice bunt presented itself to Jackie Bradley Jr. His career says that's not his bag. I believe it was just 7 total in his career sacrifice hits, sacrifice bunts. You know, the analytic community isn't enthralled with the bunt. And as you know, this organization has made a shift where we're going to start trusting the numbers, try to win in the margins, find these edges, and play the odds a little bit. So opportunity, expertise in the area of laying down a bunt, and also ability to steal bases. So, yeah, I'm with you. I enjoyed the small ball. I just don't think that's in the cards for this team. Again, it is a new day of Royals baseball. This isn't the, in my opinion, I understand what the first 12 games have shown us all, but I don't believe this is a speedy, pitching and defense, aggressive ball club. I hope it becomes that. But to me, right now, it's a club that's going to live or die with its offense. It's going to live or die with its stars, and its stars are at the top of that lineup. Bobby, MJ, Salvi, and Vinny. Tonight, nice night. They combine to go 7-for-17, driving in 3 runs, scoring 3 runs. But the boys ultimately fall 8-5, the final score, as the night the top comes through, your best reliever falters. Scott Barlow gives up a walk-off 3-run home run to Jonah Heim in the 10th inning, and the Royals' record falls to 3-9. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Quick timeout. We head inside that Royals clubhouse and get back to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Burns Post Game Show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Royals took them to extra innings but fell in 10. 8-5 the final score. Rangers take game 2, take this series. Royals will hope to salvage one tomorrow with Brad Keller on the hill. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Quick shout out, haven't mentioned Edward Olivares. Yes, he went 0-for-4 tonight, but had a productive out. You can laugh all you want, but look, one of the major issues for this team, as Reggie and Anaheim brought it up, has been the inability at times to play small ball. I talk about a lack of opportunity, sometimes a lack of expertise. No doubt there's been a lack of execution. Second inning, Vinny Pasquantino, leadoff double to the opposite field, just a gorgeous swing. Not trying to do too much. The pitch is on the outside part of the plate. Vinny goes with it, shoots a double down the left field line. Edward Olivares, hitting in the 5 spot tonight, comes up next, hits the ball to the right side. Advances Vinny to third. Unfortunately, Michael Massey struck out swinging, and Franmil Reyes grounded out to third. But Ali does his job there in the second inning. Ali also made a very nice catch in the second inning. Coming in from left field, a sliding basket catch by the Royals outfielder. So we've mentioned Kyle Isbell and his well-rounded game, Bobby Witt Jr. Even a Michael Massey. I know he went 0-for-4 and missed time after time after time with runners in scoring position, striking out with a man on third in the second inning, striking out with a man on second in the fourth inning, striking out with the bases juiced in the eighth inning. But Michael Massey, in his other 2 plate appearances, put a charge into 1 in the 7th and came through with a sacrifice fly to give the Royals a short-lived extra inning lead. With 2 on and 1 out, Michael Massey belts a 2-1 offering to center field for a sacrifice fly, scoring Jackie Bradley Jr. from 3rd. Unfortunately, Scott Barlow would give that right back in the bottom half of the 10th inning, leading to this 8-5 loss. Text line is 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's run through a few of these text messages. From the 816, what a heartbreaker, Vern. Really thought we were going to steal one from Jacob DeGrom. From the 402, Vern, Aroldis Chapman's blowing dudes away while I hold my breath when Scott Barlow comes in. Let's make Aroldis the closer. Signed, Mike in Omaha. From the 816 and our good friend Joey in Grain Valley, he's pointing out all the positives on the text line and calling himself a Scott Barlow fan. I'm right there with you, Joey. Scott Barlow is... Well, You know what? I'm not going to pin myself to this. I'm not going to die on this hill. You know what? Fine. You want Aroldis to be the closer? Oh, okay. You know, I certainly won't fight you. But what I would fight you on is who's the best reliever on this team. Can we agree on that? Like, the way that Scott Barlow has been used over the past 2.5 seasons, that to me is the best reliever. Now, he's locked down the final three outs plenty of times. He's served as the closer countless times. But he's also shown the ability to come in and face the heart of the lineup in the seventh inning, because that's where the leverage is. So if Barlow returns to that role, hey, you won't hear any complaints from me. In fact, that's what the organization hoped would happen, is that Chapman would ascend to the closer's role, and that would allow this coaching staff to use Scott Barlow wherever they best see fit. He's malleable. You can use him in the high leverage situation in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, whatever it pops up. So you know what? You want Chapman as the closer? Okay, I'm not even going to fight you. The only thing I'll fight you on is that Barlow is the best reliever on this team. We can always change with more evidence, but as of April 11th, Barlow's the boss. Raj in the Ozarks says he was listening to the Rangers broadcast and they were heaping praise on Bobby and Aroldis Chapman. So he says, Vern, don't be surprised if the Rangers make a move for Aroldis Chapman. Now, that's no doubt. Yeah, you see what they got right now at the back end of their bullpen. They're just, is it Will Smith? Is it Leclerc? Who is their closer? They haven't named one. Yeah, no doubt. Every team that's in contention, if this Aroldis Chapman continues, every team can find a spot for him. They're really going to be able to watch J.J. Piccolo once again go to work this year at the deadline, just like he did last year. The Benny trade, the Santana trade, the Drew Waters acquisition. Nice trade deadline in 2022. I hate to say I can't wait to see what they do this year, but you're 3-9 through the first 12. I can't wait to see what they do at the deadline. From the 816, Vern, I don't know who's calling the shots on the bullpen, but it sucks. Larry and Lenexa writes in, well, Vern, they suck again. All right, guys, come on. 913-586-7610. You know what? We'll get back to the text line in just a moment. I want to hear what the managers had to say after this extra inning affair. First, Royal skipper Matt Cotrero speaking to Annie Rogers of MLB.com. This audio courtesy of Bally Sports, Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of good things. I mean, battled really hard late in the game, you know, even the 8th inning, cutting into the lead, tying it up in the 9th. You know, MJ had a tough night before that. It was really good to see him, you know, he had lined that one ball to center, but I know he was frustrated with his at-bats, and to get the big hit there was huge. Good inning from Chapman, you know. What a great play from Bobby there in the 9th. You know, that's a huge out. That ball easily falls in almost all the time. And then, you know, got to give them credit. Hyman had a rough night at the plate, too, and he put together a good at-bat there and got a good pitch to hit.
You heard Q mention the 8th inning. Top of the 8th inning, Royals find themselves down 4-2. Leadoff infield single from Bobby Witt Jr. is followed by a walk to MJ Melendez. With two on and nobody out, Salvador Perez hits an RBI single to center. And just like that, it's now a one-run game. Royals are down 4-3, two on, nobody out. Vinny Pasquantino hits it deep to right field. It stays in the park, but it allows MJ Melendez to tag up and advance to third. So now you got runners on the corners with only one out. Bruce Bochy decides to intentionally walk Edward Olivares to load the bases. Again, it's a one-run game. The future Hall of Famer walks Edward Olivares with a lefty and Will Smith on the hill, loads the bases for Michael Massey. Massey goes down swinging at a slider. Nate Eaton steps to the dish next. He, too, swings at a slider. Vinny Pasquantino and Salvador Perez, not the most fleet of foot Royals. I also don't think that the numbers favor the bunt. I don't think the numbers always favor the stolen base attempt. I know they don't favor the bunt when it comes to guys like Bobby Witt Jr. or MJ Melendez. I don't think you're going to ask those guys to square and bunt. Hitting at the top of your lineup, needing that 2-3 run home run. To answer your question, though, I think it begins with lack of opportunities. Just haven't been hitting the ball very well. They're not as speedy a team as we've become accustomed to over the past decade. Like when I look at the lineup tonight, sure, Bobby can fly, MJ can move. So that's your 1 and 2 hitter. You know, Kyle Isbell can run from the 8 spot. You know, Olivares isn't a bum on the base paths, but I don't know. I'm certainly not giving him the green light. Yeah, there were only 3 guys in this lineup tonight that I would give the "it's always green" for you. Also, I know earlier in this road trip, a opportunity to lay down a sacrifice bunt presented itself to Jackie Bradley Jr. His career says that's not his bag. He's, I believe it was just 7 total in his career sacrifice hits, sacrifice bunts. You know, the analytic community isn't enthralled with the bunt. And as you know, this organization has made a shift where we're going to start trusting the numbers, try to win in the margins, find these edges, and play the odds a little bit. So opportunity, expertise in the area of laying down a bunt, and also ability to steal bases. So, yeah, I'm with you. I enjoyed the small ball. I just don't think that's in the cards for this team. Again, it is a new day of Royals baseball. This isn't, in my opinion, I understand what the first 12 games have shown us all, but I don't believe this is a speedy, pitching and defense, aggressive ball club. I hope it becomes that, but to me, right now, it's a club that's going to live or die with its offense. It's going to live or die with its stars, and its stars are at the top of that lineup. Bobby, MJ, Salvi, and Vinny tonight, nice night. They combined to go 7-for-17, driving in 3 runs, scoring 3 runs. But the boys ultimately fall 8-5, the final score, as the night the top comes through, your best reliever falters. Scott Barlow gives up a walk-off 3-run home run to Jonah Heim in the 10th inning, and the Royals' record falls to 3-9. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Quick timeout. We head inside that Royals clubhouse and get back to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Burns Post Game Show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Royals took them to extra innings but fell in 10. 8-5 the final score. Rangers take game 2. Take this series. Royals will hope to salvage 1 tomorrow with Brad Keller on the hill. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Quick shout out, haven't mentioned Edward Olivares. Yes, he went 0-for-4 tonight, but had a productive out. You can laugh all you want, but look, one of the major issues for this team, as Reggie in Anaheim brought it up, has been the inability at times to play small ball. I talk about a lack of opportunity, sometimes a lack of expertise. No doubt there's been a lack of execution. Second inning, Vinny Pasquantino, leadoff double to the opposite field, just a gorgeous swing. Not trying to do too much. The pitch is on the outside part of the plate. Vinny goes with it, shoots a double down the left field line. Edward Olivares, hitting in the 5 spot tonight, comes up next, hits the ball to the right side. Advances Vinny to third. Unfortunately, Michael Massey struck out swinging, and Franmil Reyes grounded out to third. But Ali does his job there in the second inning. Ali also made a very nice catch in the second inning. Coming in from left field, a sliding basket catch by the Royals outfielder. So we've mentioned Kyle Isbell and his well-rounded game, Bobby Witt Jr. Even a Michael Massey, I know he went 0 for 4 and missed time after time after time with runners in scoring position, striking out with a man on third in the second inning, striking out with a man on second in the fourth inning, striking out with the bases juiced in the eighth inning. But Michael Massey, in his other two plate appearances, put a charge into one in the seventh and came through with a sacrifice fly to give the Royals a short-lived extra inning lead. With two on and one out, Michael Massey belts a 2-1 offering to center field for a sacrifice fly, scoring Jackie Bradley Jr. from third. Unfortunately, Scott Barlow would give that right back in the bottom half of the 10th inning, leading to this 8-5 loss. Text line is 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's run through a few of these text messages. From the 816, what a heartbreaker, Vern. Really thought we were going to steal one from Jacob DeGrom. From the 402, Vern, Aroldis Chapman's blowing dudes away while I hold my breath when Scott Barlow comes in. Let's make Aroldis the closer. Signed, Mike in Omaha. From the 816 and our good friend Joey in Grain Valley, he's pointing out all the positives on the text line and calling himself a Scott Barlow fan. I'm right there with you, Joey. Scott Barlow is... Well, you know what? You know what? I'm not going to pin myself to this. I'm not going to die on this hill. You know what? Fine. You want Aroldis to be the closer? Oh, okay. You know, I certainly won't fight you. But what I would fight you on is who's the best reliever on this team. Can we agree on that? Like, the way that Scott Barlow has been used over the past 2.5 seasons, that to me is the best reliever. Now, he's locked down the final three outs plenty of times. He's served as the closer countless times. But he's also shown the ability to come in and face the heart of the lineup in the seventh inning, because that's where the leverage is. So if Barlow returns to that role, hey, you won't hear any complaints from me. In fact, that's what the organization hoped would happen, is that Chapman would ascend to the closer's role, and that would allow this coaching staff to use Scott Barlow wherever they best see fit. He's malleable. You can use him in the high leverage situation in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, whenever it pops up. So you know what? You want Chapman as the closer? Okay, I'm not even going to fight you. The only thing I'll fight you on is that Barlow is the best reliever on this team. We can always change with more evidence, but as of April 11th, Barlow's the boss. Raj in the Ozarks says he was listening to the Rangers broadcast and they were heaping praise on Bobby and Aroldis Chapman. So he says, Vern, don't be surprised if the Rangers make a move for Aroldis Chapman. Now, that's no doubt. Yeah, you see what they got right now at the back end of their bullpen. They're just, is it Will Smith? Is it Leclerc? Who is their closer? They haven't named one. Yeah, no doubt. Every team that's in contention, if this Aroldis Chapman continues, every team can find a spot for him. They're really going to be able to watch J.J. Piccolo once again go to work this year at the deadline. Just like he did last year. The Benny trade, the Santana trade, the Drew Waters acquisition. Nice trade deadline in 2022. I hate to say I can't wait to see what they do this year, but you're 3-9 through the first 12. I can't wait to see what they do at the deadline. From the 816, Vern, I don't know who's calling the shots on the bullpen, but it sucks. Larry and Lenexa writes in, well, Vern, they suck again. All right, guys, come on. 913-586-7610. You know what? We'll get back to the text line in just a moment. I want to hear what the managers had to say after this extra inning affair. First, Royal skipper Mac Cotrero speaking to Annie Rogers of MLB.com. This audio courtesy of Bally Sports, Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of good things. I mean, battled really hard late in the game. You know, even the eighth inning, cutting into the lead, tying it up in the ninth. You know, MJ had a tough night before that. It was really good to see him. You know, he had lined that one ball to center, but I know he was frustrated with his at-bats, and to get the big hit there was huge. Good inning from Chapman, you know. What a great play from Bobby there in the ninth. You know, that's a huge out. That ball easily falls in almost all the time. And then, you know, got to give them credit. Hyman had a rough night at the plate, too, and he put together a good at-bat there and got a good pitch to hit.
You heard Q mention the eighth inning. Top of the eighth inning, Royals find themselves down 4-2. Leadoff infield single from Bobby Witt Jr. is followed by a walk to MJ Melendez. With two on and nobody out, Salvador Perez hits an RBI single to center. And just like that, it's now a one-run game. Royals are down 4-3, two on, nobody out. Vinny Pasquantino hits it deep to right field. It stays in the park, but it allows MJ Melendez to tag up and advance to third. So now you got runners on the corners with only one out. Bruce Bochy decides to intentionally walk Edward Olivares to load the bases. Again, it's a one-run game. The future Hall of Famer walks Edward Olivares with a lefty and Will Smith on the hill, loads the bases for Michael Massey. Massey goes down swinging at a slider. Nate Eaton steps to the dish next. He, too, swings at a slider. Unfortunately, his was in the dirt. Here's what Bruce Bochy had to say after the game to Bally Sports Southwest about that decision to walk Olivares to allow Will Smith to face the lefty Massey and the kid Nate Eaton.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're setting up what you think is your best chance, you know, to get out of that inning. And occasionally you're going to put some guys on. I mean, what a job Smitty did. You know, Johnny, he's been throwing the ball so well. It's been a few days since he's thrown, but, you know, he walked a guy there and, you know, gave up two balls that really weren't hit hard at all. You know, the ground ball that went for an infield hit because of, you know, Witt speed, but then the ball up the middle. But, you know, Smitty came in and did a great job of picking us up there and just got away from us. You know, when you look at Hosey's command was a little bit off today. And but you know what? You give him credit. He didn't panic. He got the big double play to keep, you know, the score where it was.
I love Bruce Bochy's voice. Didn't really say anything of note, but fun to listen to a future Hall of Famer. All right, let's go back to the text line real quick, see what you guys got. From the 913, Vern, Kyle Isbell's going to turn into what they hope Drew Waters would be. Hey, as long as one of them turns into it. And now, Drew Waters, we don't know yet. Drew Waters might be the best outfielder on this team. Hopefully get a chance to see Drew make his season debut coming up maybe in a little over 1 month from now. 913-586-7610 from the 816. Vern, do you think Aroldis Chapman going two innings is asking too much? For the 12th game of the season, yes, I do. From the 816, Vern, this Scott Barlow slander from fans has me fired up. I'm disappointed he didn't come through, no doubt, but he's been the man the past two seasons. Yeah, no question. From the 816, Vern, you think Dozier is the worst hitter on the team? Well, Nate Eaton is. I hope they can both turn it around. No, I didn't say who I think the worst hitter on the team is. I was just saying of the starting nine, Dozier's the worst. That's why he's hitting in the nine spot. wasn't trying to knock anyone or single anybody out, but that's, and again, you need the context. The caller was saying, why do you got a power hitter and Hunter Dozier in the nine spot? Anyway. Few more from the text line. Victor in Raytown writes in and says, Vern, at this pace, the Royals will finish April 7-18. Do you see a hot streak in May so we can get close to 500? I hope so. I hope so, but no. No. All I have are the 12 games to go off of and past history, so no, I don't see this team sniffing 500 by May. They might. I easily could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But to answer your question, no. From the 913, Vern, I don't understand why this team refuses to bunt runners into scoring position. This is a small ball team and needs to do way better with runners on third and less than one out. Well, yes and no. No doubt this team needs to do better with runners in scoring position, but I don't believe that it is a small ball team. The past incarnations of the Royals under the past regime, sure, maybe they were a small ball team. But Bobby, MJ, Salvi, Vinny, Franmil Reyes is your seven hitter. Hunter Dozier is your nine hitter. None of it says I'm a small ball team. From the 918, Vern, Josh Staumont has been dealing in Omaha. They need to call him back up when they get to KC. Should be Staumont, Chapman, Barlow, 7, 8, 9 innings. Yeah, I think we'll see Staumont on the upcoming homestand. I don't think he gets the seventh inning or is number three on the totem pole of relievers. I believe number three still belongs to Taylor Clark. I think Jose Kwas has earned that number four spot. Now we'll see what Josh Staumont can do. But again, let's remember, guy didn't make the team. Can't tell me he's already the third best reliever. From the 785, Vern, I don't get why contracts play a part in the lineup. Put the best lineup out there. Give your team a chance to win. Put Dozier on the bench. You don't get why contracts play a part in the lineup? Yeah, it's not a meritocracy that many people believe professional sports are. No, when you're due $16 million and there's no way to get out of it, I'm going to try to get something for my investment, either in a Royals uniform or have you produce and we can trade you somewhere else. Now, I'm not going to sit here and fall on the sword for Hunter Dozier, but now, you know what? I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to hurt myself for Hunter Dozier. But take a look at the bench. You know, we're trying to blame the number nine hitter for the loss for the 3-9 record. Guys, Hunter Dozier is not the reason why this team's six games below 500, a dozen games into the season. Dan and KCK writing in, giving some love to Kyle Isbell. You should, Dan. You should. We'll see him in there again tomorrow as the finale of this three-game series. 7:05 for the first pitch on Wednesday night. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6 o'clock as Brad Keller makes start number three of his 2023. He squares off with another one of those guys I wanted this offseason. Sean Manaea's, I think, pitching well. I know Kyle Gibson is. We'll see if Nate Eovaldi does tomorrow. Brad Keller, Nate Eovaldi, 7:05 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show at 6. Don't forget Matt Cotrero tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. with Fesco in the Morning. Chris Unocero, thank you very much for your help. Talk to you guys tomorrow at 6. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.